Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Oh.
Hi there.
Greetings. For the good of all, Thromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Sunday, April 13th, 2008, and this is episode 58. That's entitled Let's All Do the Grind. And I'm Aprilian, your host, and with me today, of course, is Asheo. Welcome, Asheo.
Hi, Aprilian, how are you doing?
Let's get this thing started. Okay, so this is entitled Let's All Do the Grind, or Let's Do the Grind, and that's because, Let's All Do the Grind, and that's because I've been doing a lot of grinding. Do you find yourself doing much grinding lately?
Yes, probably not for the same reasons you have been, but, technically all the dailies are grinding, so, not by my definition anyway.
Yeah, you're grinding for gold though, huh?
I'm grinding for gold, yeah.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. Well, why don't we dive right in, and I'm going to do a semi-in-depth this week, so I'll start with what I've been doing.
Cool.
Okay, alright, so I've spent some time Monday in Fellwood with Aprilian, because now she's level 46, and she can actually, it's funny because if you remember, maybe 10 episodes back, she was hanging out with Trishel and Aunt Rilia, kind of hiding in the bushes and getting rep from the Furblogs, the Timbermaw Furblogs.
Yep. Indeed, yep.
But now she's doing everything on her own, because she's 47, and then I took Real Fire out to Spinebreaker Post. This was on Tuesday. I was itching to do some Outland dual boxing, and you know, I needed to get Real Fire up a little bit because there's a bunch of quests that Real Fire has done that Aunt Rilia has already done.
What level is Real Fire again?
She's 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's yep.
But
easy for you to be dual boxing out there then.
Yeah, and this was while I was at work, so I can only do one character at work.
Okay.
So I took her out. And it was slow going, but at 1,000 XP per boar and skinning, which is great, she was doing some progress during my break. She's level 348, I think, or 345 in leatherworking. And it gets kind of slow right then, because it's not either you have to, you know, buy some outrageously priced recipe, or you know, you gotta make these drums of war, you gotta get heavy. I'm kind of determined to try, because I have so many alts, to try not to rely too much on the auction house, which is the purpose of having alts.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't need to. If you've got that many alts, you should be able to pretty much provide all the materials you need to level your other professions.
Yeah. And the other thing was, you asked last week about the prices of the Arcanite bars. They've actually, the Arcanite bars, because the cooldown's not on anymore, there used to be a 23-hour, they've actually gone down in price, but what's gone up, because of the demand, is the arcane crystals, which are used to make the Arcanite bars.
That's odd, because there's not really that many other things that they use for the crystals.
Yeah, the Pally Quest, the rods, and what else? There's got to be something else.
Oh, I know why they'll have gone up, because it's now a lot easier to make Arcanite bars to level your alchemy.
Oh, maybe some.
Because previously you'd only be able to get one point a day. Now you can.
Oh, right, yeah. Now you can just use
your alchemy a lot faster, but depending on how many arcane crystals you can buy.
Right, and that's why the arcane crystals have gone up. Usually, it used to be that on the alley auction house, I could find them at 5 to 6 gold. But now they're up to 14 gold, which is outrageous. Although, I did find some for six gold each. Almost six gold, so it's 29 gold for five. And I found two stacks of that on the alley auction house, and I managed to get it over to, you know, transfer it to my alt that's in Booty Bay, my Draenei Truxvar. And then I was ready to transfer it to another, to my Horde alt in Booty Bay. And I had the whole stack of 10. And then something told me I better split it up to reduce my loss. And sure enough, my risk. And sure enough, I put five on, and I went to buy it on my Horde alt, and it was gone. Yeah, and so I found out who took it, and oh gosh, I thought I had the name of the person, but I'll put it in my notes. But whoever it was an Alliance person. No, it was a Horde level 8 undead rogue, and she actually, I whispered her, and she was in Tanaris and Gadgetzan, and she actually gave it back to me. It was a weird
thing.
I know, it was very nice. She just told me to be careful the next time. It was the weirdest thing because I don't know if it was something she was doing, but I could not give her any money. Whenever I went to put the money in, it clicked down to zero. So I figured it was some kind of... it was really weird. I figured it was some kind of bug, and I kept telling her, oh, wait, don't go. I will, I want to give you money, and I want the five arcane crystals back. Oh, it was Tokamisha. So I want to give a shout-out to Tokamisha, level 8 undead rogue. Obviously, somebody's...
just a bengal,
yeah. Because, they've got them down in Gadgetzan, so...
Yeah.
You must have summoned them down there. But, thanks for giving me my arcane crystals back. I know it was silly. And I managed to get all 10 of them over, and it was very happy. Because now I have a stack, and I was able to send you some, so...
It worked. Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I'll put them to good use.
Good. So, then, and here's the funny thing about World of Warcraft is... You can be going on one path and have one focus, and then all of a sudden something happens or some realization comes up and you change your focus. I was,
I do that every half hour.
I was all focused on real fire, getting up there. But when I got home Tuesday night, I didn't have time to get on. When I got up Wednesday morning, I felt like playing with the twins, Aprilian and Ardrion. And I had them in Fellwood because Ardrion needs to, get up to and get the Timbermaw rep. Although it's not as important now as it was before. And
still nice to be able to get the Winterspring.
Yeah. And so they went in Fellwood, and I realized Ardrion needed clams to get his cooking up. So, when I'm playing with two and the other account isn't being used, I feel guilty. Do you ever feel funny when you're only playing one?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, maybe it's just me. So I got on Trishel, and she was over in, I Googled it, I found out that clam meat, which is what Ardrion needed for his cooking, it's going to be found lots of places, but one of the places was those macroras, those little clam people. They're actually humanoids, but they have, they're out there where Ishikawa is, off the coast of Northwatch. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Over there by Booty Bay. So, Trishel was still riding back on the boat back and forth after she had gone to Nomoran with Adrian and Aprilian. And so she got off the boat in Booty Bay and rowed down over to that little area where all those little inlets are, and she started killing those mockers. And she also did some fishing. So it turned out pretty good. She got her fishing up and she got some oily black mouth to make black mouth oil. You know, even though it doesn't level her up, that's a low level recipe for an alchemist, but it's still something that's good to have.
Yeah.
And she was harvesting the clams and she just had a good time. And meantime, the twins ran out of food and water, and they flew back to Orgrimmar. And of course, one thing led to another, because while Aprilian was down in Orgrimmar, she picked up the Archdruid Hammer Rune Totem quest, and she gets it from the most weird place. It's from the innkeeper in Orgrimmar.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of quests in major cities that basically send you over to places like Thunderbluff,
right?
Partially to pick up quests, but partially also so that you actually see that there's other things out there that you should be doing.
Yeah, well, this was a level 40 something quest, so it's kind of weird for me in the middle of Orgrimmar. And of course, again, she might have missed it, because I know I haven't done it on some of my alts, because they didn't see the exclamation point. So, you know, that little thing that 2.3 gave us just really keeps on giving.
That thing certainly does.
Yeah, so she headed to Elder Rise and Thunderbluff. And then first she flew to Silthius to use the moon well to make some moon cloth. She's got like 21 pieces now, so whenever she does it, 50.
Cool.
Yeah.
You'll be making some nice gear.
Yeah. And, then I got sidetracked because I saw Ishikawa, that big, huge thing in the ocean off of Northwatch, that you get some quest from, I think, somebody at Camp T, and then they send you to meet that chick that's hanging out with the fishing person off of the, I don't know if you're familiar with this, because I know you don't do that many.
That doesn't sound familiar.
But it was kind of silly, because I ended up logging off on one account so I could get my level 18, or level 19. The rogue that I was going to twink, that's, I'm just going to level up now because I'm not very good at doing a rogue, and definitely not a twink rogue. And she made it all the way to Camp T. Oh, and by the way, the Darkmoon Fair was in town. And she made it all the way there and realized she couldn't get the quest, so I got to figure out what changed. But it was just, you know, like one of those things where you run off on a tangent and then you find out that you just wasted a lot of time. But Aprilian was very excited about going back to Elder Rise and getting the Ungor Soil quest, because we have a person in our guild who is a female blood elf, Calicent.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a hate, but yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going around, you know?
Funny about that.
But I still remember the day I saw her in Thunderbluff riding a Kodos. And I just think a blood elf on a Kodos is just, you know, touring on a Kodos is kind of cumbersome. But there's just something lovely. And even if just to have... So I really wanted to get all the Thunderbluff rep quests that I could get. And, of course, you can do a lot of grinding with that Marl Grain thing. So, and she had been stocking... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't start there, though, because if you really want it, I mean, yeah, follow Renata's guide and go back to the start level and do all the...
Yeah, she's done that.
The low level quests, okay. Yeah, so get all the low level easy stuff and then do your Morrow Grain to get the rep that way.
Right. I think
you mustn't be far off then.
No. And well, she's not gonna get it probably before she's 50, you know. Because I think even if I remember from Renata, that's Renata of World of Warcast.
Yeah.
She talked about that it's impossible, I thought, for a Horde person to get cross faction rep before 50-something. At least that was my understanding.
She got three cross-faction reps by the time she was 35.
No, those were Alliance.
Oh, on the Horde side.
Yeah, she did say it was harder
on the Horde side.
Right, because, you know, well, of course, everything's harder on the Horde side. Which is as it should be. You know, we're tough. We can take it. We don't need to be catered to like the Alliance does.
You love paying out on the lights, don't you?
Yeah. You know, I need Glanther. I need somebody out there who's pro Alliance and over 13. I'm so sorry. And that brings me to a thing that I should mention, and I probably should mention this at the top of every podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us, you can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. You can also, and I was reminded of this week, you can also leave us a message on our Skype, which is controlaltwow on Skype. And we'd love to get a voice message. Or you can visit our website and post in our forums, which is at controlaltwow.com, controlaltwow. I emphasize that because I had somebody who was looking for us on iTunes, and they were typing in control,
right.
control.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Look at your keyboard. Yeah. It's actually written on your keys, the control and the alt. And wow, it's all there.
It's all there.
You don't have to know how to spell.
And you can also go to iTunes and leave comments for us. So that would be cool. And dig us on Dig. They have a podcast section. So anyway, so I'm hoping to, at least by the time I get 60, to get a Kodos. I should ask
you want a Kodos.
Yeah, well, yep. Just to have, you know.
Yeah.
So... She, luckily I had 47 more grain in my guild bank. We live to serve. And the only thing she had to do was she spent 7G on an auction house to get 22 in Goro soil. Because what's been happening is both Trishel and Aunt Rilia have done the Angora quest, and they have the bag that they can use to make the
pot. Are they herbalists?
No, they're not herbalists, but...
Do it on your herbalist, because you get a higher drop rate of morrow grain if you do it on a herbalist.
Brilliant is a herbalist, so she is getting a higher drop rate. But every once in a while, whenever I think about it, and they have the soil, because they were spending a lot of time in Angora, then I was having them make it, and then every time I got more grain, I was sending that to the bank. And so she had 47 more grain, and she was able to instantly go and get. Oh, she also donated some mage weed. So she did. She got 4750 XP and 350 Thunderbluff XP from donating the 60 mage weaves. And then from the first Angora one, she got 6800 XP and 250. Thunderbluff wrap and one gold and 45 silver, which was nice. And then from the initial moral grain turn-in, she got 675, or just for going and answering the quest. You know, there's some quests where they say, go over there and speak to that person.
Yep.
And, you know, that's always a low.
You get rep for doing that, yep.
Yeah, so she got 675 XP and 10 Thunderbluff wrap. And then when she turned in the initial 20 moral grain, she got 6,800 XP, 250 Thunderbluff rep.
Right.
And then she did four more turn-ins of, you know, 40 of the Morrow Grain and ended up getting another 300 XP. And, of course, she got all those lovely parting gifts from the Sonorian bags. Is that what they're called? I think.
Yep.
Yeah, and she opens them up, and there's some interesting stuff. Like, there's some shadow oil, and there's some wild vine potion, which is good for some crafting and stuff. So, and then Wednesday night, I spent the evening thinking, maybe I needed a different dual boxing combination. I mean, I love real fire. And I absolutely love Aunt Milia. Although, Real Fire, they've done a great job with the physics in the game. And Real Fire is a Tauren, but she plods. Sorry, Winnie. But she does. The Taurens plod. And it's like you can feel it. And Aprillian kind of dances along when she runs. It's like she's light on her feet. She's like, it's just really,
It feels like they're traveling at different speeds, doesn't it?
Yes. And it's funny because you know technically they're not. But you can feel it. Plus, Aprillian is a warlock. And I really, it's funny, I started out with a warlock back when I was on Lightning Hoof. Well, my oldest character that I've had the longest that I still play is Iwari. And she is a warlock. And of course, when I was first playing her, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I didn't understand the whole dot thing. I didn't do all the quests that I should because she still doesn't have a Fellhound. And I just realized that her and Aprillian are the same level. She's the one thing I do like about Iwari, and this is kind of silly, but because we were on a PvP server, you know, you were killing somebody. You end up killing somebody one way or another. And she actually has a scout title, which I think is kind of cool. But, you know, I just want to work with Aprillian. Plus, you know, she represents my main. So I wanted to really, all of a sudden, I wanted to do Aprillian and Aunt Milia and get Aprillian to 60 or to 58 so she could go to Outland.
Time for a level grind.
Yeah, so I started out taking her and Trishelle into Fellwood. You know, Aprillian was doing Fellwood with the Timbermaws down at the south end, down by the Emerald Sanctuary.
Yep.
But if you go all the way up to the top, you know, well, we flew to Moonglade and ran through the tunnel. And if you fight those up there, they are a little bit higher. So she was up there, and at first, she was doing okay. But then she thought they died once. So I thought, well, actually, Trishelle died. I think Aprillian had a soul stone. And I thought, well, if I bring Audrion on, just a little bit more hitting from a hunter can make the difference. And so I logged on to Audrion, and then all of a sudden, I went off on another tangent. I remember that he was actually in Thunderbluff to level up his cookie. So I got hooked on running between Auction House and Mailbox and the cooking trainer. I'm logging off various alts and looking for mats. Thank God for RPG Outfitter. Do you use that at all? No, you don't. Do you?
No.
You probably don't have enough alts to do that. But it's really neat because if I go ahead and download the Lua, the profiler that you load, it actually will tell me where everybody's stuff is. So, like, the other day I'm looking for Black Vitriol and I know who has it. And this time I was looking for different clam meats. And it's amazing. Did you know how many clam meats there are?
There's a few, but
there's clam meat.
How many is there?
And there's this regular clam meat. Then there's tangy clam meat. Then there's zesty clam meat. Then there's some other clam meat. I forget the name of it. But there's a whole bunch of clam meat. So she, and we had a lot anyways because when Audrion was grinding turtles before for the shells and to level up. And he went to Gadgetstan he got to 225, had a bunch of mystery meat, and there was a recipe for mystery meat that was that needed the skin of dwarven stout. And I'm really loving this whole alt thing. I think I've talked about this before, but it was so neat because I had an alt in Orgrimmar, and people complain about having to travel places and stuff and how long it takes to fly. But if you can kind of, and this is why I like having alts, because it makes me think outside the box. I have my bank vault, so yep. I just log into somebody in Orgrimmar. They run over, and turns out that there's another, did you know that there was another vendor in the inn in Orgrimmar? It's a guy in the back, and he's like the bartender, and so he has the skin of dwarven stout. And when I say skin, we're talking about one of those wine skin bags.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she, so the alt there was able to do that and drop drop it into the guild vault, and then I logged back in, and Adrian was able to do some, to go up to 225. Then he went to Gadgetstan for the Clamant quest to go over 225. I had almost all the ingredients scattered amongst my alts, including the 10 giant eggs. I had to, just needed 2 more eggs. Again, you know, alts for the win. And so Adrian went out south of Tanaris to get those fire rocks. And it was funny because I remembered that there was a bunch of them near one of the bones. But, you know, the other thing about doing alts, having many alts, is you have so much storage in your mind from memory. And then when you go on to another area, even though at the time when you were in, say, Tanaris, you knew Tanaris like the back of your hand.
Yeah.
But now you've gone on to these other areas, and so all the little nuances have pushed out, and so you have to kind of reach or start over again or use thought box. But I finally found some fire rocks, and Adrian was doing pretty good. But then there was he drew aggro from some hyena. And you know what? That is the most annoying sound in the world. When you hear that hyena target you, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're hearing snap with these vicious teeth. And it's just such a, you know, you can almost feel the flesh being ripped off of your skin. And so, Adrian died. And so, you know, as I did what any good alt-aholic does, I called out Willfire, who was in Thunderbluff. And she was there to respect. I had a 1-on-1 at my Apple store. Have you ever heard of those?
A 1-on-1?
Yeah, you can pay $99. I'm not doing an ad for Apple, but you can pay $99 a year. And then for once a week, you can schedule a class for an hour. And you can talk about, you know, different things. They have different things that you can do. I did some stuff on doing video, and I got a little few tips on making the podcast, and this week I was actually there for Aperture, but my one-on-one person is also plays WoW, and we had talked a little bit about Aperture, and I didn't have any pictures that we could really do with, and that was my assignment for the following week, next week. So I got to talking about my hunter, and he actually gave me tips on how to respect Realfire for Beastmaster. I'm sure that's probably
I thought you weren't Beastmaster.
Yeah, well, no, because he had a whole bunch of stuff in Survival and some stuff in, what's the other one?
He's not really a Beastmaster.
Right, so he wasn't. He was kind of a hybrid. Right. And so, you know, I went out and respect, because I've never respected any of my characters on anything.
Really?
Really, I just...
Oh, wow.
I do the shopping cart thing. Oh, that looks pretty. Oh, shiny. Oh, that looks pretty. You know, and it for the first few months, it never dawned on me to kind of see where the tree was going before I picked stuff. You know?
Right.
You know, just, oh, I got a point. Let me buy something. And it's funny, too, because another thing I thought about the other day was my first character was actually a priest. And I remember that, I didn't understand a lot of stuff I was doing, and I used to die a lot, and I realized it was because I kept life tapping. I thought life tapping was something.
A warlock?
Yeah. No, a priest. It was a mana tap. What is that thing a priest does to draw mana? Maybe it's mana tap. That was it. It draws mana from the life and converts it. Draws mana from your health and converts it. Converts it to mana. You know,
a warlock does that. That's a warlock.
No, this was a priest. I know, because I was also doing those diamond things. But whatever I was doing, I was sucking health away.
Sucking your life.
And I was killing myself. I was committing suicide, and I didn't even know it. So anyways, Realfire got out and helped Adrian. First, she got there and she cleared away the mob so that Adrian could resurrect. And I didn't put them in the party because I really wanted Adrian to do most of the fighting himself to get the experience. And I just had her there as a backup. And I learned a trick. I don't know if this is true. Well, I kind of found that it's true. If I wait until the mob is 50% down. Hold on one second. All right. Sorry about that. The dogs were barking. And it's like 2:30 in the morning. Oh, my neighbors are going to be ticked. But anyways, it took about 10 fire rocks before he was able to get two more eggs. And he did that, and he went ahead and completed it. And I mean, it's so silly, because why does he need cooking? Do you know why? No reason.
Because you like to grind.
Yes, and because I got obsessed with it. And it's one of the things that makes World of Warcraft kind of cool, is that it really gives you an endorphin release when you see that little thing that says you went up a level. Especially if you have someone... go ahead.
You're going to say what you found about if you waited until the mob got to
50%? Oh, if the mob got to 50%, that the XP that the lower person gets, who's not, you know, they're not grouped, but the XP will be much higher. And it'll be almost comparable to as if the lower mob, lower level had done it solo. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Try it one day. See what you find out.
If anybody knows what the actual formula is there, I'd be interested to know, because I know Blizzard have made it a lot harder to power level that way.
Right. And this is more like rescuing leveling. You're not getting power, but somebody's got your back, you know.
Yep.
So then he, you know, got to that, he's got to like two, his. He completed the quest, went back, got the Clamet and got the master cooking Adrian. Yep. And you know, that was it. I've gotten over that obsession. But
now you better get the cooking to 300.
Yeah, but that'll be a while because he can't go over 300. He's only 41, so he's got 9 levels to get to 50.
Well, then you have to get him to level 50.
Yeah, but first, Julian's got to get to 58. So I had, Aprilian had the flight path to Marshall's Refuge in Angora Crater, and I found out that Iwari didn't have it yet. I was thinking about getting, well, I wanted Aprilian in just to run around the crater a little bit because she needed soil. And Iwari had been in Alterac Valley grinding, not Alterac Valley, Alterac Mountains in that cave again, grinding mithril. But it was cool because while she was in there, she came across Lagosh, the guy that drops the ogre, the black ogre kickers, which is a blue boot.
Is that a rare relic?
Yeah. So she got a pair of
those. Cool.
Yeah, that was nice. And so actually, Aprilian ran Iwari. Well, first she got that water dousing quest, because Iwari hadn't done it. Iwari hadn't done a lot of things, you know, she's kind of like the stepchild.
Just a grinder.
And she's the engineer, and she's a miner. So they rode out to do that quest, and that actually was kind of easy. I guess somebody must have already been there, because that's the one where you fill up that bottle of water, and right after you fill it up, these huge beetles come out. Well, there were two beetles out already, and they managed to kill them both. And then when she went to fill up the water, there was nothing else came out, so she was fine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice timing.
Yeah. And so then they ran all the way down to Angora Crater, and they got around to almost to the Marshall's Refuge. No, right before that. You know how you go around? I don't want to go through hard particulars, but they were halfway there, and a devil sword came up, and it killed Aprilian, but Iwari was able to outrun it. It actually hit her a couple of times. I didn't think you could survive that, but she managed.
I mean, there's a chance that'll knock you off your mountain, and you're pretty much dead, but yeah, it's not guaranteed.
Yeah. And so Aprilian had a soul stone, and they went on. It was kind of, it just felt good to walk away from the, that guy.
They sneak up on you so much, it's good to get away from them once in a while.
Yeah. And so Iwari actually found some thorium. That was the other reason why she needed to get down there, because Trishel needs thorium bars to transmute the arcanite crystal, the arcane crystals into arcanite bars. So that was kind of good. And they ran all the way to Marshall's refuge and got the flight path. And then Aprilian came back, and Ardrian. Oh no, I think they were going to go back to Felwood, but they didn't. And the following morning, Saturday morning, Aprilian and Trishel went back to Felwood because Aprilian only needed two more furblogs to complete the second furblog quest, and that was kind of cool. And then Trishel escorted Aprilian and Ardrian to the Blood Venom post in Felwood. That was kind of hard because, you know, Ardrian's level 41, so he was aggroing a lot of stuff. But this...
Slimes.
Yeah, the slimes, yep, exactly. But Blood Venom post is such a good flight path to have if you're going to be working in... you're going to be playing in Felwood, because there's an NPC to do repairs. There's one that sells food and drink and ammunition, and there's a mailbox. So it's a really good fight.
It used to be that Horde were better off in Felwood, because we've got that flight path that's kind of, you know, almost halfway down, and the Alliance only had one that was right at the top. But now that there's one down the bottom, kind of the Alliance have got the benefit, because they're top and bottom. We've still got a ways to ride to get to the top.
Yeah. And Trishel had a whole bunch of that Sonorian salve, plant salve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so much of that stuff.
Well, you know what? It's kind of crazy because you end up with so much of it, you know. But I guess it's the Felwood's equivalent to the crystals in Angora Crater. And so, but what she's been doing is she goes and she activates the plants, and she lets Aprilian loot him.
Pick it up. Yeah. Yep.
So she got the buff that's actually at the flight path, and then she's got some of those. She can now use those plants, those buff food that give you stamina. So that's kind of neat. And what else? Oh, then I had to go to a wedding in Zangarmarsh. So should we play?
And whose wedding? And whose wedding was that, Aprilian?
Now, I'm gonna play this little piece right now, and when we come back, I'll tell you whose wedding it was. So, all right, we'll be right back.
Hey, Mom, I just put the kid down to bed, so I thought I'd send you a message and say hi. But first, I need to chastise you again for pronouncing my name wrong. This is what brought about the voicemail in the first place. It's pronounced Care-ru-ble. Care-ru-ble. That's how it's pronounced. Anyway, I really do appreciate you doing the recipes and everything else you've done for me and for the wedding, and how much you and Asheo and all the rest of AAE have really helped me in my game and supported me, not only in my game, but through real life and all that other stuff. It's the airplanes in the background. That's what keeps drowning me out. Anyway, just thought I'd say hi. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, so that was a nice little message from Kerbal. Am I saying that right?
Pretty close. A lot better than last week.
Yes.
I'm going to have a go. I would have said Caravel.
But
then again, I've got an accent.
Yeah.
It's really funny. In World of Warcraft, it's like you're looking at these names of people that you know play with and talk to every day, but you're only actually looking at their names. When you actually go to say their names, you realize, oh, hang on a minute, how do you actually say this? Because, you know, a lot of them are you know, just made up names that you'd never see.
Exactly. So, you know, I was doing the best I could. Yes. But Kerbal and Nephilus, I hope I'm saying that name right, got married today, and it was beautiful in Zangomosh, and there was a little bit lag, and there was a few disconnects, but all in all, I think everything went beautifully, and I want to just send out a salute to the bride and groom. I wish you all the best in World of Warcraft. And I want to just, you know, say that it was really nice, and there was a lot of AIE and a few other people there. And Aprilian got to see Zangomarsh. I'll put a picture of that in the show notes. That was really pretty.
Isn't that a nice zone? I love Zangomarsh.
Yeah,
it's a great zone. So I have to apologize to the couple for not being able to make it. I've actually been away for the last couple of days, and believe it or not, there are places on this planet that you can go that don't have internet.
Don't say that. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I know. But hopefully I've made up for it. I used the WoW Armory to my advantage and had a look at the gear, and hopefully have chosen out a nice armor piece to... get a set bonus from one of the other pieces that was equipped.
Oh, that's nice. Using the armory as a registration.
Yes, that's right. Wedding registration. Look on the WoW armory.
So that's where I'm at. I'm still at leveling Aprilian, and I had a good week, and I had a lot of fun, but I did a lot of grinding. You can still have fun grinding. I mean, it's all about releasing endorphins. So we're going to come right back, and Ashaya's going to tell us what you've been doing this week. Okay?
Okay.
So, Ashaya, what have you been doing apart from being in a horrible place where there's no internet tubes?
Oh no, it wasn't horrible. Oh. It was very nice. Yeah, just didn't have any internet.
What
it was down the beach. It was a weekend away playing cards with some mates. Get away once a year and catch up with some people I haven't seen for a while and play a bit of cards, have a few drinks.
I'm trying to understand.
Oh, you know, poker, Texas Hold'em, baseball.
For money?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For money. Not that it's about the money, it's about the company and having some fun. But anyway, before I get that...
Of course,
want
to know, did you win?
They do want to know that, don't they? And I'm not one to brag, so I'm not going to say.
Okay. Right, go ahead.
But in saying that, I guess I've already said what happened in my... Never mind. So this week I've been grinding. I've been grinding the dailies like there's no tomorrow. My 370s, Jekyll Hyde and Ashaya have been averaging about 10 to 12 daily quests a day. Mostly out on the New Isle and a bunch around the Outlands. And, pardon me, I'm going to cough. I've got this little bug in my throat that won't go away. And the reason for that grind was as I just got sick and tired of Hyde being so slow on his flying mount trying to keep up with Jekyll. And Jekyll's got the epic druid flight form. And like, you know, I'd be in Chatrath and need to go up to Negrand. And Hyde had... take off and start flying and Jekyll would zoom ahead and Jekyll would spend 5 minutes over there mining and looking around and doing other stuff waiting for Hyde to turn. So it's like, nah, look at this. So Hyde now has his epic flying mount.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Worked for the daily quests and the gold grind. So it's so much nicer. It's worth every penny. It really is. And I must send a shout out to Tark. Congrats to Tark that he got his. We went and did heroic Sethic Halls early in the week, and he got his druid epic flight form, and he's loving it as well. It truly is a beautiful thing.
Cool.
Sorry, you were going to say something?
Just that, you know, you're talking about, you know, Hyde being slow, and, you know, I'm feeling your pain, because, you know, there are those of us who are still on the ground, you know. But even...
Well, the normal flying mount is slower than the ground mount.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when you get the flying mount, you're flying at 60 or 40? And what you were doing at 40 or what you were doing at 60?
It's more like what you're doing at 40.
Oh, but you're just able to go
yeah,
higher.
But you're just doing it in the air, so you're not aggroing mobs. But when you get your epic, you're at 280%. Plus, you know, if you've got a riding crop or a druid trinket, there's an extra 10%.
But that's what, 1,000 gold?
It's fast. That's where the 5,000 gold for the riding skill goes, plus another 200 to actually buy the mount.
What else have you been doing?
Instance, you know, Karazhan, Gruul's Lair type stuff with Ashayo. So more success there. But probably more time in more grinding on more mount stuff, but this time for a shield and his pally mount. So thank you very much for the Arcanite bars. I managed to... get through all the pre-quests. I'm up to the last quest now. I'm actually at the point where I need to go into Strath and actually kill the mobs in there to get the quest reward, which is to summon my epic paladin mount. So hopefully I'll get that done in the next week.
And this is in place of paying, 1,000 gold? Or do you still have to pay?
Yeah, roundabouts. Okay. I mean, I still cost me quite a bit of gold. There's one of the quests is like, you know, collect me all these items, you know, plus 150 gold, and another one is, you know, collect these items, two of them are sold by vendors, and they're, you know, another 100 gold, and you need 5 dark runes, and dark runes only drop. Off mobs in, I think it's Skylo, and I just couldn't be bothered. It's like the drop rate's horrible, and I looked on the auction house, and they wanted, I forget, like 30 gold each or something like that. It was higher actually, and then I remembered a lesson from Aprilian, and logged onto the Alliance side auction house, and lo and behold, lots of cheap dark runes. So in the wee hours of the morning, a very, very quick transfer via the neutral auction house, and nobody stole them, and got my dark runes, yep. I don't know how much it's actually cost me. I didn't add it all up, but I mean, it'll be cheaper than getting the riding skill. But you know, it's not like it's free.
Oh,
it's
this not is like that
your,
charger.
It's not like you're 40 now.
This is the charger thing, that horse with that armor and. Okay, all right. This is kind of neat.
So I'm looking forward to that. More for the speed than anything. Being in the Outlands now, it's and being on a level 40. Riding mount is like it's very easy to aggro mobs and have them whack you and knock you off your mount, and then you've got to stop and fight them. Just when you want to be somewhere to go and grind somewhere, that's not what you want to happen. Go on, sorry.
I had to change the order I was having when I had Trishel and I had to take off the carrot Because Trishel has the carrot and Aprilian had the carrot, and when they were doing the escort to Blood Venom Post, they would be going along fine. And I have three monitors, and all of a sudden I realize Adrian's not following anymore. He doesn't have the carrot, and at one point he goes so fast that they lose him. So, yeah, I can understand.
That's right. Doesn't take very long to lose him.
Yeah.
And try doing it. I think there's actually a bug. You actually try having the slow mount guy in front,
right,
and fast mount behind, especially if it's an epic mount. Like if I get a Shao on her epic dread steed to try and follow, you know, one of the guys on a level 40 mount, she rides jerkily,
yeah,
because she's got a, you know, she kind of catches up and then stops because you're on follow.
Right.
But there's some bug where it actually it must get out of sync or something, and it lags, and you look on one screen and they look like they're together, and you look on the other screen and the follower's way behind.
That always reminds me of my grandfather, because he used to drive. He'd go really fast, and all of a sudden he'd go fast, and he'd stop and slow down, and because he was going too fast, and he'd be going too slow, so he'd speed up. And so whenever I'm having a faster one on follow, that little chunking motion reminds me of my grandfather.
Yeah. On the other thing that I did, which following from last week on a shield with the blacksmithing, and someone in the guild had mentioned that don't try and complete all your armorsmith quests, go weaponsmith and then change. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try. I can't remember who it was, but thank you very much, because that saved me so much time and gold. It's just not funny. I don't understand why Blizzard has made it so completely different. The effort and the grinding that you have to go through to get to become an armorsmith is so much more than becoming a weaponsmith. And I just, you know, got the much less materials and the rest of the stuff that you need to make are recipes that are sold off off an NPC. You know, granted, they're unlimited supply, but I mean, you know, I got them both first time. As opposed to armorsmith, where in order to get the recipes to make things, you actually needed to complete some other quest, and which involved handing in a whole bunch of thorium and mithril. So I got it all done, and promptly turned around to my new weaponsmith trainer and said, "No, change my mind, mate," and unlearnt. Then went back to the first quest guy and said, "You know, hey, I used to be a weaponsmith. I want to be an armorsmith now." And he went, "Oh, you know." Oh no, that's right. You had to pay 5 gold to unlearn. So an extra 5 gold, unlearn, go back to the first guy and go, "Yeah, I want to be an armorsmith now." And he goes, "Yeah, okay, there you go. Done." It's like, I couldn't believe it.
I kind of think that they put I think they put these little Easter eggs in there so that if somebody does realize the trick, you know, I mean, you know, you had to network,
yeah.
Somebody had to tell you. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you wouldn't know. You know, and it is a social game. I mean, you know, I think it's neat that they have these little things and that every path isn't equal. Because if every path was equal, then, you know, it would be kind of boring. But maybe that's just me. I also think that every every zone has its own interesting little quirks, even a genre.
Yeah.
So that's just me.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of little quirks, I learned something this week that's, I reckon it's a bug, but I mean, it's probably by design, but it was quite annoying. In going to Heroic Sethic to get the epic druid flight form, we had two druids and trying to think what else was in there. We didn't have a warlock, so we couldn't have a soulstone. We didn't have a paladin, so we couldn't do a blessing of protection, divine intervention rather. I died as the healer. I died,
mm-hmm.
and Tark turned around and did a rebirth on me, and it's sitting there on the screen saying, "You know, Tark wants to rebirth you. You know, accept or decline." I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, oh, will I click it? Because I was still fighting mobs. And Tark's going, oh, pop back up, we got this. And I was just about to click it, and I noticed that a pat was coming back, and the pat aggroed. And I said, no, you're not. So I sat there and waited, and till they had all died. I'm thinking, well, as soon as they're all died, I'll pop back up. I'll rebirth, you know, one of the other people that can res everybody, and we'll be right. But Tark died. They were still saying, you know, Tark wants to rebirth you.
Okay.
And the last person that died was a hunter, I think. And as soon as the last person in the party had died, that option disappeared and said, you're dead. Do you want to res back at the graveyard now?
Mm.
I'm like, what? I had an option there to do a rebirth. And,
right.
The guy that rebirthed me has been dead for a while, and I still had the option, and it wasn't until the party had completely wiped that option disappeared. So I was like somewhat peeved at that. So I don't know if that's a bug or by design, but annoying to say the least.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I bet you can't reproduce it. Because of the number of steps it
would
take to get to that exact point.
No, it's not that hard.
Everybody would have to die.
Yeah, everybody has to die. That's all. And I have to die first.
Yeah.
That's not something I like doing.
I think I'm going to end up having to make some kind of deal with my husband because who was it that was talking about healing in Mores. I was reading somewhere.
Is it Karazhan?
Yeah, that's in Karazhan. And I was reading about the whole process, and they were actually detailing all the things you have to do, the shackles and all the stuff. And the whole excitement, the person was so descriptive in how they were talking about what they did that I got really kind of tingly just listening to that. And I've never done a more than a 5-man anything. And, you know, of course I'm always afraid because, you know, I'll be the one that hits the wrong button at the wrong time and causes everybody to die. But
it's all a learning experience.
Yeah, if I could go with the right group of people, it would be so, it just sounds so exciting.
There's
always two versions to the whole rating thing. There's the fun kind of thing that I get from what we do in AIE, and then there's that guy with the 50 DKPs. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, we're complete opposite. We're not a rating guild for a start. You know, we raid because there's individuals in the guild that have a common interest in wanting to see some more in-game content. So we're not a hardcore raiding guild.
Right, there were a few people who tried to be hardcore, thinking that, you know, we needed that. But, it didn't work out.
There's much more to the game than being in a hardcore in-game raiding guild.
But, you know, and that's not to say that there's anything wrong with it. You know, it's fine to be a hardcore raiding guild, and if that's what you want, you know, it's fine. It's not a bad thing, but it's just, and it might even be something that you might want to try, and then later on relax, or maybe once you've tried the relaxing part, you might want to challenge yourself by going to some place where, you know, where it's almost choreographed. This came up in guild chat once, where some people were trying to get to some instance, and it wasn't a high-level instance. I think it was something like Shadowfang Keep or maybe Scarlet Monastery, and they were looking for the formula, which I guess is a tank, some DPS, a couple of DPS, which is like a warlock or hunter, and a healer. And I kind of said, you know, well, you could just go with what you have, and the person kind of mocked me, saying, well, a tank is essential. And I've gone into instances plenty of time when we didn't have the set formula.
Mm.
You know. But of course,
yeah. I mean, it's less important in the lower levels instances, especially if you've got, you know, one or two characters that are higher. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I've had my pet and a hunter do the tanking as far as holding aggro, and, you know, sometimes it's okay to just go in and... I think sometimes people take themselves too seriously, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah. Well, that was, I mean, case in point, the last thing that I've done this week, and we only completed a couple of hours ago, was I did the ramparts with a shield and a shield. And, you know, that I wasn't intending to dual box it, but shout out to Pilot, who's a level 70 hunter in the guild. He said, yeah, take it to Rampart. So Pilot and a couple of others, so we had the four, and there was another pally who graciously respec'd to a healing spec to come in and heal. And yeah, I mean, the pet probably tanked more than me, but it wasn't the your normal makeup of group. But you know, having that level 70 in there, it just gives you so much more flexibility and room to make mistakes and room to learn. I mean, you know, I've been a tank since level 10, but I haven't actually done a standard normal, you know, five person. Have a tank, have a healer, have three DPS type instance.
And they knew you were dual boxing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yep.
Sometimes I feel like it's
my turn. So I was trying to find a normal five-person group, but we couldn't get a fifth player, so I just brought a shield in as a fifth player, and you know, she's a shadow priest, so she could do a bit of DPS and backup heal, and it was all good. We got through it easily.
Oh, great. Speaking of dual boxing, I was on Trishel, and Trishel is set so that when a guildmate leaves or comes logs on, that it gives a little, a little, you know, so-and-so has...
Yeah, notification. Yeah. Yep, notification. Yeah. Gone offline, come online, yep.
And sometimes that can be a little bit... annoying, but sometimes it's very interesting.
Especially when the server crashes and you get about 300 such and such has gone offline, such and such has come online, which happened earlier today.
Yeah, or that somebody's having internet issues and it's going back and forth. Well, I'm trying to look it up in the armory, but I'm not seeing them. But I saw in a one and a two and a three and a four log on and off. It was I think it was maybe it was AUN or AARNIJUAN, and then two was TOU and three was THRE. And then four was four. But I just thought that was funny, and I was trying to find out who it was, because I want to ask them if they all logged off. So that means that they were all on. And, you know, there wasn't any logging off and logging on. It was all four logged off, one right after the other.
So, oh, well.
So that must mean somebody...
Quad boxer.
Yeah. Which is kind of neat.
Well, if we've got a quad boxer in the guild, we want to know about it.
Right. So if you're listening and you're on a one and a two and a three and a four, please send us an email or a PST, either one of us in game. And so, anything else you've been doing?
That's brought me up to this afternoon.
Okay. So we have some email. So we're going to come back with some emails. We're going to read now. We're going to start off with one from somebody from Alaya Ayakta Est. And it says, hi, excuse me. It says, hi, Aprilia. I just finished listening to episode 57 and it was great. You and Ashayo continue to make a great team. I have started two teams of dual box characters. One is a priest warlock and the other is a hunter rogue. What professions would you recommend for them? My priest and warlocks are both tailors, but they have not chosen their second profession yet. My hunter and rogue have not chosen any professions. Thanks and keep up the great work. And this is from Molson.
Oh, wow. I didn't know Molson was a jewel boxer. There you go. Excellent.
Excellent.
So a priest and a warlock that are both tailors. So obviously one of them needs to be a skinner.
And the other one needs to be an enchanter.
And the other one's, you know, ideally an enchanter, although it depends on whether you want to be able to buff your characters or whether you want to be able to make some easy gold.
Yeah.
So you know, I generally have one. If you've got one crafting profession, like a tailor, I'd make the other one some sort of gathering profession. Is my personal preference.
And it's always good to make one, if you do a boxing, to make one of them a skinner, because you're going to run into a lot of animals.
You kill so many beasts, yeah. And you know, tailoring takes leather. You need tailoring, but you need leather to for your tailoring, so you might as well have a skinner.
Yeah, for a little bit, but you're also going to be gathering. Well, the neatest thing about tailoring is a lot of the mats are cloth that you just get from killing humanoids, so that's how it works.
Yeah.
So you don't need a special skill to get that, which is kind of cool. You know,
although the problem, of course, is going to be that if they're paired together, then you need to share the cloth, so you're only going to get half as much.
Right.
Which is going to make it tougher to level your tailoring. But
yeah.
But then again, they're clearly alts. I mean, you know, just go and do some of that wonderful grinding and grind up some cloth.
Right.
And a hunter rogue.
Well, the rogue definitely,
I mean, the fact that you're dual boxing doesn't really have that much of an impact on what you choose your professions, apart from not doubling up on gathering skills, on gathering professions, basically. You know, there wouldn't be any point in having them both miners or both herbalists.
Right. I think it'd be nice to have the rogue as a herbalist, because then he can always sneak, he or she can always sneak into a place where there's a plant.
Yeah.
That you might not be able to, you know, sneak past some mob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or mining. But so yeah. A rogue is herbalist or miner, I like. One of them should be a leather worker. Probably the rogue is a leather worker, maybe.
Yeah.
One of them a skinner.
Yeah. Then you can always retrain when you get up higher. I know that when I was...
I like doing that, though. I like... That's one thing I like thinking about and planning, because dropping professions and re-leveling them is just... It's just horrible. It's not something you should have to put yourself through.
Well, Aurelia's...
Unless you like that sort of thing, of course.
Aurelia's enjoying doing enchanting again. I mean, I'm relearning a skill, and she dropped skinning for enchanting, because I found out I had too many skinners. You can't have too many skinners. So let us know how that works out, Molson. And thanks for the email.
And let us know what level they are. If you've just started them out, then maybe we'll come out and do some quad boxing with you. Do some dual boxing.
Yeah, and also let us know your setup. We're very interested in other dual boxers. Triple boxers.
For sure.
Yep.
Excellent. And our second letter is from Tria, who's a 70 lock on the Lothar server, and she writes, "Hey, Aprilian and Asheo, it's Tria again. I heard that you both are planning on starting mages, and I just thought I'd give you a few tips that I've learned from leveling my mage, Thalu, to 70. Oh, wow. So she's got three 70s, actually. A lock, a mage, and a warrior. That's good going. Excellent. One of the most important things I find to remember about a mage is you are very squishy. Don't I know it? So try not to get hit too much. That's a good plan. You can accomplish this with many frost spells, such as Frostbolt as an opener, or Frost Nova when a mob gets too close. Secondly, Polymorph will become your best friend. Use it often and wisely. And finally, do not give up. The first 10 to 15 levels may be hard, but it gets more and more fun as you learn more spells. I'm looking forward to sending in more mage tips. I hope you all have fun. Looking forward to more shows. If anyone has any questions, don't hesitate to email me at wowwarlock2, that's the number 2, at gmail.com. And finally, oh, will I skip over that bit? No, all right then. For the Alliance.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? Thanks, Tria. Yeah, great. So I'm going to start a mage this week, and I'm going to see how that works.
All right, well, so will I.
Yeah. What level do they get portals? 20?
They get them gradually.
Right.
So I think, yeah, I think you get your first city at 20, and I don't know mage on the Alliance, and so it's not until you get to the higher levels that you get ports to other cities.
Okay.
But it's certainly a great help to be able to jump around. It's less important for a mage to be able to have set their hearth to Shadrath. I should probably save it as a tip for Tria, but I mean, when I did the leveling of my mage, I would basically set my hearth to where I was actually questing, as opposed to a major city, because I can port back to a major city and get to an inn and everything, and then I hearth back to where I was questing rather than have to fly out there.
Interesting. Sure.
So next week we'll be
reporting how we're doing
with our mages, our little mages. Are you doing a blood elf, or what's the other one we can do? Of course.
Yeah.
Good question. Who on the Horde side can be
mages? I wonder how we could find out.
Oh, by creating a new character? And having all the options when you choose mage. I can't do that right now. I have to delete one of my characters. I've got 10 characters on this account. I've already got 10 characters on both accounts. That's really sad. I'm going to have to delete a bank hold or something.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that too. And the biggest thing is that I have one bank hold that has a few things on them. You have to transfer everything over first. But there's also this thing called the internets.
And is there?
I've heard that it can tell the undead and troll can also be a mage. So that's interesting.
I like the
You like pretty?
I like the Ghostlands. That's actually not about that. I actually enjoy the look of my undead and Tor and Orc characters. It's more about those first 20 levels. I've much enjoyed doing the questing in Ghostlands.
I hadn't done Ghostlands in a while, and I went back and I really like it. So.
Yeah. And the rep rewards for Tranquillion are really nice.
It is, and I love the Dead
that's,
Scar.
That's why I choose Blood Elf.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Yeah, and I mean it's if one of them is a gathering profession, a herbalist or a miner, Blizzard have really concentrated a lot of herb and copper ore in those starting areas to make it easy to kickstart those professions. So
yeah, herbalism is really
blood elf is the way to go.
Yeah, there's all that blood thistle around that you can just. It respawns really fast.
Yeah. I love the blood. I love how the blood thistle is addictive, and you get a debuff if you eat it, and you don't keep eating it, you get a debuff.
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious.
You can almost see the blood elf going, man, got any blood thistle? Blood thistle.
It was actually a character early on in the guild that role played being addicted to it and having withdrawal symptoms. And it was hilarious.
So we got a little treat this week. Glanther, as promised, has sent another segment for our podcast, and it's always nice to hear from him. We appreciate it, Glanther, so sit back and listen to the Alliance side of World of Warcraft and grinding.
Hello, a brilliant and a share. How are you? This is Glanther. I'm submitting this week's portion on a couple of things that I've been doing and some of the things that I've discovered over on the Alliance side. What we're talking about this week is a little bit about Monotombs and Aukanai Crypts, which are some of the dungeons that are in Aukandon. And I also am going to be talking about daily quests and what I've been doing there. Talk a little bit about my journey to the Epic Mount, and also talk about a little segment I call Good Pug, Bad Pug. All right, so I hope you enjoy. All right, so first thing I want to kind of talk about is some of the dungeons that I've been running in the past week. I don't usually do a lot of instances, but I've been kind of playing Glanther a lot and when I have time. And he's level 70, so I decided I was going to take advantage of some of, you know, that upper level content and start to go to parts of the game I haven't been before. And one of the things that I looked at my quest log was that I had a lot of stuff in Monotombs and Sethic Halls and Aukanai Crypts and all of those other dungeons that are in the Bone Wastes, you know, outside of Terrakar Forest. And I decided I wanted to kind of talk about Monotombs and Aukanai Crypts a little bit this week, because I've been having those are the ones I really liked. I didn't have a lot of fun in Sethic Halls. I got I ended up getting, you know, some nice boots from there, and I got a new pole arm from there, but I just wanted to kind of clear those out. I don't see myself running those a lot. I'm just not a big fan of them, but I did like Monotombs a lot, and I'm really excited. I want to kind of run through that a couple more times because it gives you reputation with the Consortium, and the Consortium has a really nice gun that you can get if you're at revered status with them. So the instance itself is it's long, and it's really fun to kind of to play with a group. Same thing with Aukanai Crypt, which was a really good experience because I ran through it with a group, and then we ended up saying, "Wow, that was really fast. Let's do it again." And we kind of went outside and we reset it and we ran through it again. And it took, you know, two run throughs and about 45 minutes to do both. And it was just a lot of fun. We worked really well as a group, and this was a little pickup group that I had kind of stumbled into, and it just really, really worked. I'll talk a little bit more about that group later on when I talk about my good pug, bad pug kind of situations that I've been in this past week. I've also been playing a lot with dailies. And now dailies are, you know, up to 25 quests that you can do. You can only do it once a day. There's a fishing quest that I do right now. I also do a skinning quest. And I do a quest where I go and I kind of farm Sun Fury Blood Elves up in Netherstorm. And those are the three that I just do. I know there's a lot more daily quests that you can do. And I should really, you know, look into these because I get about 50 gold every day is by doing those three. So if I could, you know, each one gives about 10 to 15, and if I were to do 25 daily quests every day, I'd be getting 250 gold, which would put me on the fast track to, you know, getting my epic mount, you know, much sooner rather than later. And right now I'm about halfway there. I'm about 2600 gold to go. So halfway is good, seeing as how when I started this kind of journey, I was at just a couple hundred after I bought my main mount. And so in the past, you know, month, I've, you know, gotten 2,500, which is really, really good. The daily quest that I like the fishing daily quest because I can complete it very quickly, because having a high fishing 375 skill, I can really just use any basic lure and go and get the fish. And there's three different quests that I've done so far. There's a Blackfin Darter quest that's in Terrakar Forest. I have a giant, you know, fell fish that you have to actually fish lava to get. And you have to go to Shadow Moon Valley to get that. And there's also one about, oh my goodness, what was that last one about? Oh, Zangomar Marsh, where you have to go and find shrimp. And you have to go and fish for these bloated, barbed gill trouts, and then you cut them open, and then you find shrimp inside. And so that one was kind of fun, too, and that went pretty quickly. A little tip of, a little advice that I read online, I can't verify because I didn't try it without doing this advice, but if you do those fishing quests and you have to collect these bloated barbed gill trout, supposedly the drop rate is much better if you get the trout, cut it open immediately, and then fish again. Because if you try to get all the trout first, supposedly it can see that you have some trout in your inventory and the drop rate is less. I don't understand how that would work, but that's what I did, and it went really very quickly. So I'm interested to see if that is true or not. We'll have to see. And then I've also been, you know, having a lot of fun in terms of just kind of grinding. I do a lot of grinding with those daily quests, but I've also been trying to get a lot of not hide leather. So that way after I get my mount, I'm going to go and I'm going to save up some money to go and start to buy thick leather and rugged leather so I can get my leather skill up to 300. And then when I finally become a master leather worker, I'm just going to have all of this not hide leather saved up. So that way I won't have to go and spend a lot of gold on those, because those can be really actually pretty expensive. Thick leather itself is already like 7 gold per stack of 20 on the Earthen Ring Alliance Auction House. So that's pretty crazy. And that you need a lot of it. I'm going to need probably about 1,000 pieces of thick and rugged leather in order to get to 300. And then not hide leather, it's going to be even more. You're going to need a lot. And in terms of reputation, I'm going to try to go and run Arcani Crypts a couple more times, because I want to be able to get a key for the heroic version of Monotombs, and I want to have Monotombs be the first heroic dungeon that I do. And I think that would be a lot of fun, and I want to really try to, you know, grind that rep for the Consortium. Now, to talk a little bit about good pugs and bad pugs, and I'll start with the good pug. The Arcani Crypts that I kind of got involved with was just so much fun. Like, everyone, it was 5 people. There were just great communication, and we just kind of went through and we just plowed through everything. There were two shamans, there was a mage, and then there was myself, and then there was a warrior. And those shamans are great. Like, they can they just kind of put down, you know, totems, and then you're almost unstoppable. It was just so much fun. It was just a lot of fun. And it was just, when we finally got the last guy, I said, wow, that was really quick, let's do it again. And everyone unanimously was like, yeah, let's do it again. And it was a very mature crowd. It was just very great. And when I tried to go to Tempest Keep and run the Botanica instance, it was like the exact opposite. And there were 5 level 70s, and it took me about an hour kind of waiting for everyone to get involved and finally get over there. And when they did get over, they all started to kind of nitpick with each other, and especially with me, because as a hunter who doesn't do a lot of instances, I'm not an expert at, you know, pulling and trapping, but, you know, I think I do a pretty good job of not having a lot of practice. I was able to get, like, every once in a while I'll pull a person and they'll run over my trap. But we played for about a quarter of the instance, and about 80% of the time I'd actually, you know, get my trap correct. And throughout the whole time they would complain, and they would be very belittling about, like, you're not trapping correctly, your pet is getting too much aggro, you know, take some of that off the warrior, which I don't understand how that's possible, because if you don't have taunt on your pet, or if you don't have growl, I should say, it's really difficult to, you know, gain aggro from someone who is a warrior, because it really kind of shows that the warrior probably isn't getting aggro and holding aggro the same way that they, or the way that they should, quote unquote. Because I mean, if a level 70 pet with no growl is taking it off of them, then there's something wrong. But anyway, what happened was about a quarter of the way through, all of a sudden I get booted out of the group, and I get this message saying that I'll be returned to Shatrath City unless I regroup. And I messaged the group leader, and I was like, "Hey, I, you know, what happened?" And he was like, "Oh, we, you know, we replaced you. You should think about practicing a little bit more in the wilderness, not in the instances." And I was pretty hurt because it was really very sudden, and we weren't wiping, we weren't dying a lot. I mean, things were actually going pretty well. But it was just, I was very, very insulted by it because it's a game, and these people, you know, all kind of random people, and you kind of get the sense of, like that end game content person who is above everyone else. And, basically I sent them back I sent the group leader a private whisper. I said, "Okay, I mean, I understand. Thanks for the advice. It's a free country." And I said, quote, "It's a free country, but, just so you know," and, that was kind of a douchebaggy thing to do. And I excuse my French there, but as I wanted to kind of tell them what I said. And then I went and I said, "You know, you can go yourself. Have a good day and have fun." And it felt really very good to tell these people exactly what they deserve, because that's something that, you know, I hate to say it, but every once in a while, like there are definitely things that are not good about playing the Alliance, and the teenagers who don't have any kind of social skills is one of them. So, that was an example of a bad pug and how things can go really wrong really quick. And I should have realized sooner, when people were nitpicking with each other and with, you know, little things, that it's not going to be a lot of fun. So you can almost tell. It's kind of like being in a good or a bad relationship. If you're in a bad relationship at the very beginning, you kind of know, and you're like, maybe I should get out of this. But many people stick with it, and it just doesn't end up being right in the end, and it's exactly what you thought it would be, but except it's much more difficult to kind of deal with after you've invested some time and some effort into it. So if you get a pug, you know, just kind of gut feel it out, and you'll know if it's going to be a good group or not. And if it's not a good group, I'd almost say go and grind, you know, go and do quests, you know, don't waste your time with, you know, with dealing with that kind of stuff, because it is a game at the end of the day. And I just felt so kind of insulted and hurt by it. And I was like, why am I so insulted and hurt by this stupid game? And suddenly I realized, you know what, it's not a stupid game. It is a game though, and I should have fun. I shouldn't subject myself to this kind of stuff. But that's what I've been doing this week. And in terms of the Alliance, I hope that you guys all, you know, out there who play Alliance, I hope you all don't have the same kinds of stereotypes happen to you, is what happened to me with like the younger, more, less mature crowd. But also don't give the Horde a free pass. I'm sure that there are plenty of things that the Horde does that you'll never find an Alliance player doing. And with that, I have to say thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Asheo and Aprilian, for having me on the show again, and for the Alliance.
Alright, so I think that brings us to the end of another episode of World of Control Alt Wild. Thanks for listening. We look forward to your comments, emails, and call us on our Skype. We'd love to hear another submission. Thanks, Caribou, for submitting. And thanks for everybody that wrote. And thank you, Asheo.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you next week.
Right. For the Horde.
For the Horde.
May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later. Aldir Shalah.
Go in peace.